In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
You're tuned in to the Gangster Chronicles with James McDonald, Reggie Wright Jr., and Alex Alonzo on the Digital Soapbox Network.
I have a material witness on an aggravated battery with a handgun, and they believe this might be in retaliation to her testimony.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to another episode of the Gangster Chronicles. My name is Alex Alonso from Street TV, and I'm with...
James McDonald.
James McDonald's in the house, and this is episode 49 of the Gangster Chronicles podcast, and thanks for... I want to thank everybody for listening to us on all the different podcast platforms that are out there. And let's just get straight into it. I want to do a few fact checks from... the last episode and the previous episode. There was a police officer that I mentioned, James, in a previous conversation that I had with you about a cop that got fired from LAPD because he lost his eye and then got rehired in Orange County.
He lost his eye?
He lost his eye in a shootout. So he was rendered disabled. But then we were talking about how these cops get rehired in other places. This cop got rehired in Orange County. And then he got indicted for beating a homeless man to death.
Oh, I seen that video. Is that the one?
No, this is a couple years ago. But his name is Jay Cicinelli. Cicinelli. Oh, I'm sorry. Jay Cicinelli. Jay Cicinelli. So he was an LAPD officer, lost his eye in a shootout, was rendered disabled, and then got hired down in Orange County with one eye. And then it was involved in this... they beat this homeless man to death, this guy named Kelly Thomas, and they went on trial for the murder of Kelly Thomas, and I believe they were found either not guilty or got manslaughter or a lesser offense. I don't know. I don't remember the specifics of it, but that was Jay Cicinelli, that perfect example of a cop losing his job. He didn't lose his job for anything negative, like doing something illegal, but when you have one eye... You probably shouldn't be a cop anymore.
Exactly. I mean, what can you do with one eye? I mean, you can still function, but, I mean, shouldn't that put his ass on the desk?
I don't even think you can drive a car because, actually, one time I got beat up real bad. I think I was about 16 years old, and the guy ended up squirting some chemicals in my face, and I was in a hospital, and I couldn't see out of one eye for, like, 2 months. And during that time, I wasn't allowed to drive my car. I wasn't even allowed to play sports in high school anymore. I pretty much lost all my rights to do what I normally did because I had only one eye. And this guy loses his eye in a shootout and gets hired to be a cop again, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, that's the officer, Jay Cicinelli. I didn't remember his name. And then a couple weeks ago, I said something about Bernard Parks, who was the only black LAPD chief. I said he was about 80 years old. I know he was up in age, but Bernard Parks is actually 77 years old, so I didn't want to add any more years to Bernard Parks.
Right.
But Bernard Parks is our only black chief in LAPD history.
So was he a good one?
Actually, he's 76 years old.
Was he a good one?
He was a good one to those who liked a true disciplinarian chief. But that doesn't work with your rank-and-file LAPD officers because they start to feel like we can't trust our own chief because he's a disciplinarian type of chief.
Because he wasn't with the bullshit or he let a lot of bullshit go?
No, he wasn't with the bullshit. So he fired a lot of cops and he laid off a lot of cops. He did more than any other chief did. But at the same time, just imagine you running the show and you're actually doing some real disciplinary stuff to your troops. Your troops are going to start not liking you.
Well,
and so they basically said the LAPD lost morale in their chief, and he only lasted one term. And then they brought in, I believe, Bratton from New York came in after him, I believe.
Yeah, that we'll discuss him on another show.
Yeah, so Bernard Parks, he's actually 76 years old, not 80. But, hey, that's pretty close, though, right?
Yeah.
I guess I don't want nobody adding 4 years to my life. But he's only black chief in LAPD history, and it's going to be a long time before we get another black chief. And I think that's it for the fact-checking.
Let's go.
We got some news stuff to go into, and I guess the first news thing to talk about is Reggie Wright Jr. calling in from Atwater Prison, did an interview for Bomb First, and he had quite a few things to say, not just about you, about other people, but yeah, he definitely had a lot to say about you, James. Did you get a chance to listen to it?
I listened to it early in the morning. I couldn't go to sleep because I couldn't believe it. Damn, Reg, you want to come at me like that? And I had some shit written down, but I think...
Well, do you recall something specific that he said that you didn't appreciate?
Well, first he talked about me mentioning Snoop Dogg, Tupac spitting on people. Everybody that dealt with Tupac knew how Tupac was around certain individuals, whomever. So I didn't say nothing. I damn sure didn't lie on the dude. And it was just a comment that me and Reggie done had many times. This is my thing. If you my partner. I'm talking about you my partner. If you had anything to say, if it's negative, I'm a fucking call you. I'm gonna get at you before anything, before I go on anybody fucking platform and speak on you in a certain kind of way. And I never wanted to air our dirty laundry out like that for anybody to say, oh, shit ain't good on the compound with Gangsta Chronicles. So I would never, and I have never spoken on you, Reg, on nothing. About nothing. So for me to sit here and listen to this and then hear of my times from date to date of when I came to Death Row, was fucking with shit before Death Row.
Yeah.
But if you talk about it, nigga, say why I walked away from Death Row or say why Suge didn't work with me no more on Death Row. But put it out there. Tell the truth about it.
Let's correct that timeline because he said you was only around 92, 93, 94. But there's this pre-Death Row years that go back to 88 or 89.
Well, it wasn't Death Row when I first came out from prison. But from the beginning, from the start to...
From Fernhill.
Yeah.
We talking about what, 88, 89?
88.
So 88,
89,
89,
then
90.
Then up to Death Row when the first show, when Death Row came out. The Death Row Party came out. Then all the way until shit started going bad at Death Row. And that's when I elected to bag the fuck away. And then we had Let Me Ride Hydraulics. So I'm at Let Me Ride Hydraulics. Buntry, Big Jake, and all of them brothers is flying out of town with Suge the whole nine. It wasn't my choice. I chose not to do that. I chose not to go against the motherfucking grain. But to speak on me, period. on me, period. My Gangsta Chronicle brother, I've been knowing Reggie. Reggie, I've been knowing you for a long time. And it just fucked me up for you to say the shit you say.
Well, he basically was talking about the Tupac comments regarding spitting on people.
I made millions of comments and said many things about Tupac and the shit that Tupac did. But okay, I'd rather hear it in the comments from other people speaking on me about saying certain things. From that, you got Mob James wanted to be like Suge. Let's address that. Why would I want to be like Suge? Anybody? I don't want to be like Suge. I didn't like certain things, and a lot of shit was happening. I'm trying to be me, and I be me all the way up until the day. I do me. I ain't trying to be like no Suge. I don't want to be like no Suge. What the fuck I want to be like Suge for? What the fuck I want to be like anybody else other than myself? I don't act like that to nobody. I don't pretend to be nobody in front of nobody. I'm always James. I'm always Mob James. And ain't now nigga on the set or anywhere around me can say I'm a different motherfucker on this day or another day. I'm the same way 7 days a motherfucking week. I don't change, I don't flip, and I don't say different shit. Everything I say, I can repeat. And I ain't never spoke on a motherfucker, especially if I'm telling the truth and was scared to tell and say what I said. So it just fucked me up that Reggie, you know, said it the way he said it and speaking like that. You could call me. You could say, James, why did you say woo woo? We done said this at CBS. We done talked this same shit everywhere else. In the car on the way home from doing the show, or whatever the case might be. I thought I was your dog. And I think I still is. So, but, and I know how Reggie like to get shit started. Yeah. I know Reggie like to, he say, I'm going to pick with this motherfucker and I'm going to get him on one. I'm not for the ratings bullshit. I'm not going to play that game with you. All I say is, if anybody got a problem with me, all you got to do is say it. It ain't like I'm hiding. It ain't like motherfuckers ain't got my phone number. You can call me. You can say whatever the fuck you want to say, and I'm coming. And I'll come. I don't need no crowd of motherfuckers. I'm gonna be there before you get there. We gonna see what's happening. But Reg, I don't speak on you like that. And all you gotta do is call me, brother, because I don't air out shit. And you make it seem like I forgot about you. I ain't forgot about you. Long as you still getting a motherfucking check, you still get paid from this Gangsta Chronicles shit. I thought my job was to keep this shit going until you came home and sit down. That's my job. So whatever I got to do, if I got to do it by myself, I do it with 30 motherfucking people. I'm trying to keep Gangsta Chronicle where we at until you come home in September. I don't speak bad on you, and I don't come on here and say, well, we don't have a third wheel. We're looking for a third party to fill Reggie's seat. Man, you my motherfucking nigga, and this is where you belong. But if you just feel any kind of way toward me, dog, love you to death. But I will fight you, my nigga.
I think he's just being Reggie. I know you probably.
Well, be that way with somebody else. Yeah. Don't be that one that way with a motherfucker that do fuck with you. You've been in jail 5 motherfucking months, and I make sure you get a check. I make sure your shit's still coming.
Yeah.
I don't say shortcut this nigga. I don't say nothing. Make sure he get his money, and he's sitting in that motherfucking in prison, getting paid. So if you want to, man, just. Man, I love you, dog, but it's just some things I'm not going to do. I'm not going to sugarcoat a motherfucking thing. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I didn't hear it. And if it was somebody else, I would have let that shit go. Me and you don't have no fight. But if anybody got a fight with it, then fuck it. Let's roll.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and an extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Okay. Well, let's talk about one of the specifically. He heard about how you're getting better at the show. You're getting real good on the mic. He even said, James even did an episode by himself. But what? He said, well, let me finish. He said, but he giving credit to everyone except for me, Reggie. I'm the one that introduced him to Vlad. I'm the one that put him out there to do these interviews. So he felt like you didn't give him any credit for the position you're in now.
I give Reggie credit every month. Every time I make sure he get his money. I give Reggie credit when I write him a letter. I appreciate you, my nigga. I give Reggie credit every time I talk to him on the phone. I appreciate you. You know we miss you. I'm not the Reg, we got you. I appreciate you. I thank you for whoop. I know who helped me. I know who helped me. I know Reggie was there with me. Reggie brought me here. So how can I give it up? Because he went to jail. I'm keeping this shit fire lit so he can come back. And we going places. When we pick him up, we going to be good. But I ain't no Hollywood motherfucker. I ain't left you behind. But what you want me to do, Reg? And I want you to really tell me what you want me to do. Because me, personally, and I'm telling you, I can walk away from this shit. I can walk away from this shit. This shit don't make me, man. I'm still going to be James motherfucking McDonald at the end of the goddamn day. Whether you make a comment bad on me or anybody else, I'm not tripping that. But just from it coming from you, that's the fucked up part about it. You're supposed to be my brother.
Well, I think if he was sitting right here, he'd probably say the same thing.
I think if Reggie was sitting right here and Reggie would agree with me, we'd be two fighting motherfuckers if he sat here and just pretty much said, I'm full of shit. We'll be fighting. And he know it.
And that's what people love about the Gangster Chronicles is when you guys go back and forth.
No, Gangster Chronicles wouldn't even see this because I wouldn't fight Reggie in
public.
No,
but I'm saying just the back and forth debating about certain issues. And
well, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But my loyalty to Reggie is another thing. When you test that and then take me out of character, or make me speak bad on you, then that's something different. Now you put our friendship and everything else and on the line. You feel me? I ain't never did that with him. I ain't never did that with Reg. And I ain't going to do it for no ratings, for no numbers, no nothing. I'm not finna speak on Reggie Wright Jr. I ain't going to speak bad about him to now another motherfucker. My motherfucking slogan, if a motherfucker fuck with you, they fuck with me. So don't attack me.
Well, I know you took it as an attack. I just took it as regular Reggie criticism.
And that could be. Yeah. It could be. That's why I'm mad, but it is what it is. And I said, you got up until September. You got up until September to lace your motherfucking boots and come and say, and we picking you up and say what you got to say. And I'm going to be there to pick you up. I'm going to be there to pass that case to you. I'm going to be right here when you sit at this seat and do your first show. Ain't nothing going to change. We're going to fight and we're going to have a drink, if that's what you want to do, Reg. But I'm not, other than this, I don't care what your comment might be. I don't care what nobody else got to say. I'm done with this conversation. But I felt I had to say something to you. I ain't your bitch and nobody else's bitch. So don't speak on me fucked up, and I won't speak on you nor say nothing fucked up to you.
Well, he didn't get to call in 2 episodes ago. That would have been episode 47, the last week of February. He mentioned that in the interview he did with Bomb First, that something was going on in the prison that prevented him from having access to the phones. But hopefully next week we'll have Reggie Wright calling in, and we could talk some more about this.
Well, Reggie, and I should be mad. I should be mad. I'm the motherfucker that was out here. You needed 300. All the way from Australia, I'm making this shit happen. You my brother, so I'm going to make it happen. If you need it, I got it. I'm going to give you the last off my motherfucking back. That's why I feel the way I feel. And then I got to get some motherfucking texts, some messengers, and say, man, look at Bomb First. Why Reggie wildin'? Why Reggie acting like he acting? What? And then here we go. Reggie talking about James, woo, 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 woo. I don't know where the fuck. Like I'm somebody's new booty. Nigga, I was here before you was. But you make it seem like, nigga, I love you like a motherfucker, Reg. You my nigga.
All right. One of the things he said, that he felt that you let Vlad off the hook regarding that reparations tweet. I guess in the last Vlad interview, he asked about it, and let me just read the tweet so people understand it. Vlad actually tweeted, I fully support reparation for African Americans, possibly in the form of college education. Now, a lot of people are mad about that.
Why? Because a white boy said it?
No, the tweet itself, because reparations historically, whether it's for the Jews or for the Native Americans or for the Japanese that were in internment camps, it was always in the form of cash. So a lot of people felt like, why can't African Americans, the descendants of slaveries, why aren't they good enough to get the same cash? And Vlad is tweeting here, possibly in the form of college education. So that was the criticism that a lot of people had. And on this one, James, I'm going to have to agree with Reggie on this one.
I know you
ain't the type of debating dude with Vlad, but I think Vlad was wrong for that tweet.
Man, I talked to Vlad, and I had a conversation with Vlad. Mm-hmm. And me and Brian also did our homework. Vlad, that ain't what he said.
No, that's
Vlad
exactly actually, what he said.
He actually summed me what he said.
I'm looking at the tweet right now, James.
Okay. What Vlad, and let me say this. What Vlad said, or what if I said it as a black man, like everybody else said, what would a nigga do if we had got reparations? Everybody would be driving a Cadillac,
jury. That ain't the point, James.
What's the point?
Why give millions of dollars to Japanese? Why give millions of dollars to Native Americans?
That's what they're doing already.
Why can't you, so you saying that's like that question that they asked Compton Mayor Dollarhide back in the day when he was the first black mayor of a city of California. A white journalist asked him, can blacks govern themselves? What kind of racist crap is that? That's the same thing you're saying. Blacks can't have control of millions of dollars of money? Nah. Vlad is wrong for that tweet. Bottom line. And I'm going to read it again. I'm looking at the tweet on Twitter. I fully support reparations for African Americans, possibly in the form of a free education, end quote. And No, this, it shouldn't
that's
be.
That's the same thing you have right there, right?
I fully support reparations for African Americans, possibly in the form of free college education.
Okay, yeah. Now dissect that for me. What is he saying?
He's saying, I mean, I think it speaks for itself.
If it speaks for itself, you can tell me what he meant.
Well, he ain't talking about cash. And that's what, historically, when the government gives reparations to other minority groups, they're getting cash, James. And I can name off three or four Native American groups that have received cash. The Jews receive cash, which Vlad is. The Japanese receive cash and a bunch of other groups that I'm probably not remembering. But for blacks, are we going to give them a college education? Nah, we need cash. We need cash so we can build our communities. We need cash so we can invest in our own personal future wealth. We need cash for all that. We don't need a college education.
Who does the money go to?
Well, that's something that has to be worked out. But guess what? They worked it out for the Native Americans. They worked it out for several tribes. They worked it out for the Japanese. Why can't they work it out for African Americans regarding the historical legacy of slavery? And that's all the and
I'm honestly, I'm not gonna put my foot in my mouth. I think the way he explained it to me, I understand. And that was a subject that neither he or I wanted to go into again because he already got his backlash from it. People saying what they said, he understand. And I don't wanna put his business out there. I know for sure he's not a racist. I know for sure. And I don't want to.
How do you know that?
Because I know.
You'd have to say you know his heart. You don't know his heart. You did three interviews with the dude, and now you're telling me you know his heart?
When this camera go off, I'll tell you.
Okay.
I'll tell you how I know.
Okay. But I'm not saying he's racist, but I'm saying you don't know what he is. You know? That's what I'm saying.
I don't know his intent, but I know he ain't racist.
I can tell you this. That tweet is racially insensitive.
Is it?
Absolutely.
I
possibly in the form of free college education.
That ain't basically saying for our kids to go to school for free? To go to school, because half of us can't go to college anyway. So if you put that into a college education in the form of an education, that's the best thing for us.
Well,
for these kids, for our kids to learn, go to college, and then get these jobs. So it could have been meant, and it can be taken all kind of ways. But we, as black people, we take shit, we run with it, we jump on shit like this. But we do this shit to ourselves, dog. We do this. We break ourselves down every motherfucking day when it comes to a black man speaking on a black man. Look how we started this show today.
Yeah.
Another brother bringing down another motherfucker just for ratings. And this is how we do every motherfucking day in general conversation. This is what you see on social media every day. A rich nigga bringing down another rich nigga instead of binding together and then making shit happen. We talk about each other. So when a white man or any other motherfucker say it, we offended. We get offended. Just like I said with the police. The police fucking out there killing us, but we killing ourselves every motherfucking day. Drive-bys and all that shit. But when the police do it, we want to sue. We want to get out of here and march. We want to do all this bullshit.
So we should just let the cops kill us?
No, but we killing ourselves.
Okay, but
killing ourselves.
Those are two separate. Those are two separate things.
No, death is death, my nigga.
Nah, but it's two separate issues.
Man.
You talking about police officers that are sworn to protect and serve that are knocking people off. It's separate from...
If we start treating ourselves better, maybe the motherfuckers will see that they can just kill us and get away with shit.
So how do you think blacks got enslaved? Because they weren't treating each other?
I ain't got nothing to do with slavery. I wasn't there. I understand slavery. I understand all of that. But just because our people were slaved back then, that means we got to stay trapped into that?
No, I'm saying
that. Do we stay trapped into slavery and keep that slavery mentality and think that that's what we are, that's all we worth? We work way more than that, brother.
I know, but I'm saying state violence from the police is different from the community violence that we suffer amongst each other.
Both of them
are important issues.
In a sense, yes, it is.
But one doesn't prevent us from having a conversation about the
other
one.
One don't make the better one make it no better. But yes, it do, because we gotta stop blaming other motherfuckers for the shit that we're doing to ourselves. We got to stop talking about each other and then start embracing each other. We got to stop killing each other and start helping each other. We ain't doing this shit.
We got to do both.
Every time, and I ain't going to say no, every time a nigga climb the ladder and try to, and damn near over the fence, you got a motherfucker grabbing him by his ankle and snatching his ass down instead of putting your hand up like this and pushing him over the motherfucking wall. And we started our show with this shit.
Well, you know, Reggie made some comments and I thought was worthy of addressing.
For real.
Okay, he also said, let's move on from the Vlad tweet, but I do think that Vlad tweet is racially insensitive.
And everybody, like I said, has a right to their own opinion. Everybody voiced their opinion on the daily. And not only about Vlad, but about everybody else. My point is when shit come indirect to us, we quick to jump on each other. We rather fight each other than the shit that's fucking us, that's holding us back. But we are quick to jump on a man of color. We ain't for no other reasons, but we quick to hurt each other. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. There was another interesting comment Reggie made, not really directed towards you, but he said that Trayvon Lane, I guess, spoke on, quote unquote, I did this. When referring to the Snoop situation, and then Reg was in the interview. Reg was like, he was pushed to do that. We had to tell him to do that. But in the interview, I guess Trayvon Lane, which I didn't hear the interview, but I guess Trayvon Lane is taking all the credit.
Once again, 25 fucking years. It don't matter who pushed who and who did what. Two things coming out of that. We still talking about it. The other one, Snoop is still doing what the fuck he doing. Snoop is still making motherfucking money, and he ain't letting no motherfucking. Just because he got punched, he ain't dead. He's still doing his thing. He moved on. Let's move on. And I swear to God, man, I don't ever, while we do this podcast, while I sit here, I don't ever want to talk about Suge Knight. I don't want to talk about Death Row. I don't want to talk about Biggie and Tupac. These are two men that's gone 25 years, and we still stuck on that shit. Like, it's, man, that's a bad habit. And I don't want to discuss it no more because all it brings is BS to the table.
I think last episode we didn't even, I don't know if it was the last episode or the episode before, we didn't even mention Tupac once. But, hey, I can't promise that it ain't going to come up.
Well,
I
mean, you can talk about it, but just, I will not comment.
We're on the anniversary of Biggie's death, and it was all over social media.
Okay, and I'm going to sit here like this.
another Reggie comment. He said that he hopes you don't do any more Vlad TV interviews.
Well, I'm a grown-ass man.
But then he heard that you might be a regular on there. So can you speak on what the future is between and Vlad interviews?
I'm a regular?
He made a comment.
What does that mean? Like I'm going to go every week and do it?
Yeah, like the way Trey D does. Not every week, but Trey D would be considered a regular. Lord Jamar from Brand Nubian's a regular. And I don't know if it was John that said it or Reggie Wright that said it.
Let me say this. Getting to know Vlad from day one all the way up until today, till Vlad came on our show, just speaking with him in general on the phone, just chopping it up with him, I got a chance to know Vlad, not the interviewer. My conversation extends way farther than doing an interview. So Vlad is a cool cat to conversate with. Hanging and kicking it and all that, we're from two different worlds. Mm-hmm. So I don't see that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not here to disrespect him. I'm not here to speak bad on him. I'm not here to speak his business. And if I have any business with Vlad, I don't know who the fuck told him that I'm a regular, who said I'm a regular. But, man, I appreciate you. So being a regular, do you get paid for that?
Well, you know, when he was on the show on episode 15.
No, I'm saying being a regular, do you?
You talking about on Vlad, right?
Anybody, what's the regular? I mean, tell me how they work.
Well, I actually addressed that on episode 15 of the Gangster Chronicles when Vlad was our guest, and I said these guys must be on the payroll, referring to Trey D and some of the others. He denied it, but my guess is if you are a regular, there probably is compensation, but I can't confirm that.
If Vlad called me and asked me to do a show, I would do it. If I called Vlad and told him I want him back on the show to clarify some shit, I think he'd do it. You know what I'm saying? Vlad just had And I had no clue about it until I seen it myself about Bosco apologizing. You know, Vlad didn't have to go there to straighten the record or do anything.
That was interesting.
Huh?
He kind of pressed the issue, Bosco, on your behalf, it sounded like.
It didn't sound like that to me. It's like Don't you think you should, you know? But that was up to Bosco. All that was up to him. That wasn't, Vlad didn't have no pistol on the side and say, better say, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I applaud him for it, and I applaud Bosco. Man, I accepted his apology the whole nine. That's all that was. So, I mean, people talk like me and Vlad sleeping together and shit. Yeah, can y'all hear this shit? Like, no, if Vlad ever called me, I think I would go.
Well, you're the second most successful interview last year, and my guess is that he would want you to be a regular like some of these other guys.
And that would be cool because that lets me know. And let me stop playing because this is real serious. That lets me know that there are people out there that understand James McDonald. You know what I'm saying? And I appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? But it's not just on his platform. It's Gangsta Chronicles. People, I talk, and this Hollywood, they say, I done win Hollywood. Well, Gangsta Chronicles win, or me? That we done win Hollywood.
That James won Hollywood, or the whole show? The whole show? Wow.
I haven't did nothing out of the ordinary but what I do every Wednesday. I come up here, do the show, and I go tend to my family. I'm with my grandson. On a daily, I don't hang out. I don't party. I don't do all of that extra shit. I don't do none of that. My only focus is coming up here doing what I got to do and to make sure when Reggie come home that he good.
Reggie going to come home to a show that has kept it moving forward.
Man, and that's my only purpose. And man, be quite frank, this to me right now, today, this is all the fuck I got. So I'm not here to speak bad with my coworkers or whomever. I'm here to exist, man. I'm here to keep it going. I'm the people that I talk to, that call my phone, that call James McDonald and just want to say what's up, we appreciate you, keeps me going every motherfucking day. I started with my list, but I leave my book all over the place to appreciate every person that called me and shot the shit with me and told me how I inspired them. Man, this is killing me. This is some shit I never heard in my life. I'm not here to jeopardize that. I truly believe my purpose. And one thing I can say I'm guilty of is that we don't say, that me and Alex does not say, and Reggie Wright, or say Reggie Wright's name when we start Gangsta Chronicles. I can say I'm guilty of that. But our personal relationship, Reg, I think you already know how I feel about you, dog. You know, do I gotta say every day, Reggie, I appreciate you, I appreciate you, I appreciate you? You stop calling. So I can't tell you, but every time I talk to you, I appreciate you. And I tell you that all the time. What more do you want from a man? That's all I got to give. I can't give no more. You in jail. Now, my purpose is to keep Gangsta Chronicles. Let's keep bringing this and let's survive to September. And then now we got better content. Now we got more shit to talk about. Now we can sit across from each other and talk shit. I ain't tripping on you. Everybody and their mama know. Over from the beginning, CBS. I didn't want to do this shit. You called me, and me and you been doing this shit from the beginning. From the beginning. Unfortunately, Reggie had to go sit down for a minute. Now, if you wanted me to, you could have said, stop doing the show till I come home and we'll put shit together. Nah, you want to talk and talk shit about me. You want to put on that I'm hearing on this motherfucker. Oh, I got this to do with whoop de whoop. I got this to do with whoop de whoop. You putting all this shit together behind the wall. You ain't commented or said shit to me. But my whole motherfucking get down is about Reggie Wright. My whole everything right here against the Chronicles is Reggie. And Bryant and everybody that sit in this motherfucking room, when we talk, they'll tell you, man, we got to keep this shit going for Reggie. Alex had to do court, couldn't make it. Show must go on. We got to keep the people right. We got to make everybody happy.
Let me ask you about that. How was it doing the show solo like that?
It was very nerve-wracking. Yeah. Very, I was nervous as a motherfucker, but I knew I had to suck it up, and I just had to bring that
But you had some guests. I thought you were going to do the show just like solo and just talk about whatever.
And I sit at home and I practice with my grandbaby because, you know, I barely hear no half of the shit he's saying. So I tune it out and then I just go there. So I'm practicing for that. If it ever happened again, I could sit at this table all by myself and look straight in this motherfucking camera and talk about all kind of shit. So what we doing and what Norm saying they want to do is get a line hooked up where we can ask some questions. And I sit there and ask questions all motherfucking day. All motherfucking day. But I do have a conversation. I do have a lot of history, a lot of shit that I can talk about. Might make you laugh, might make you cry. But I got a whole lot of shit up in here. I got a big ass head. I wear size 8. So I got a lot of shit to talk about.
Well, you held it down. That was episode 46, the third week of February, where I wasn't able to come in. But, yeah, you held it down that week, and you handled business.
Man, and that's what I thought it was supposed to be. You know, if one fall, the other one got to be there to pick that one up, and we're going to do our thing. I'm by far on some hater shit, especially from this position. I'm far from trying to go somewhere by myself. The only thing I say here when I started Gangsta Chronicles, long as Brian eat, long as Alex eat, long as James eat, long as Reggie eat, I don't give a fuck what I'm doing. If they want to do a fucking interview by myself or a documentary, I said long as everybody get a piece of the check. Do I not say that? Have I not said that? I ain't going nowhere by myself, and I ain't never just thought about me. I ain't never been at that point. So I take it offense to anybody in this circle, speaking fucked up on me. I'm gonna attack back. I'm gonna attack back, and I ain't talking about we need to kill each other, none of that shit. But we can't fight each other.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
All right, let's move on from the Reggie Wright Jr. interview. He will be getting released. Hopefully, he said September, maybe October. So he'll be back on the show soon. Let's talk about briefly Nathaniel Woods. He was the dude that was executed last week in Alabama for the murder of 3 police officers that he didn't even shoot. He didn't even kill him. Another guy in the house was the shooter. He admitted to it, the other guy.
So he basically guilty by association?
He was guilty by association. In his trial, they argued that he lured the cops to where he was shooting, but it was very weak evidence. The evidence actually showed he surrendered. The prosecutor said, no, he didn't surrender, but, you know, it's a very difficult who do you believe. It's us against them.
Well, we knew the
them.
Verdict. Three cops is dead. It don't even have to go that far. We already know. They weren't coming home. They was going to get the death penalty. Come on, man. You got black men killed three cops. What we thought? They was going to get off?
Well, no, not get off, but, I mean, he got executed, and he wasn't even the killer. I didn't expect for him to get out, but,
do
you know,
they care?
In Alabama, I'm going to have to say no, they don't.
Okay, well,
you know, in another state, it might not have went down that way. But even the actual shooter, and this is a shooting that happened in 2004. The shooter himself even said that everything was spontaneous, nothing was planned, and I didn't even know I was going
to shoot.
And
they figured he just saying that to clear and let one of his friends off.
Yeah, they're probably thinking
we
that.
We did that. We lived that in the neighborhood. You know, when the police came and the motherfucker on a murder something, they get the homies, and then the little homies say they did it. No, you think you going to YA. The homie went to jail, and he got life for it. You know what I'm saying? The older cat got more time for it. So they've been doing this shit. Everything is a cycle, man.
Well, the governor of Alabama is this lady named Kay Ivey, and she said that she refused to stop the execution of Nathaniel Woods because he was an integral part in the intentional murder of these three officers. But every lawyer that looked at this case said that he had nothing to do with that shooting. He had nothing to do with the murder of these three officers. So, you know, it's just one of those things. Who do you believe?
I'm like this. All white people ain't bad. But in certain states, the intent of a white person is bad. They don't like black people. And I don't care how we cut it, how we said it, whatever. They don't like black people, and black people know that, and white people know that. So what the fuck do we got to sugarcoat this shit for? It was an open and shut goddamn case. Three goddamn cops, especially if they was all white.
They were all white cops.
Okay, your ass is finna get hung.
Yeah. But what's interesting, the governor said this, that Nathaniel Woods did absolutely nothing to try to stop the shooter. Like, what do you want to do?
Ain't that some shit, Rick? Yeah. You say you get beat by a baton. How do you stop moving when they beating your ass with a stick, a metal stick? You can't stop.
It's not Nathaniel Woods' responsibility to stop this other even guy from shooting.
Even
you know?
If he had it in him, he can't stop a motherfucker. So you kill me for it?
But I think that statement kind of shows you that they know he didn't have nothing to do with it, but they're saying he could have did more. He could have stopped this guy. He could have tackled him. He could have took the gun from him. Nathaniel did nothing, therefore we're going to execute him.
And that's where they get you at, from their point of view, from their opinion. Based on their opinion, what you could have did, let me get a stick and start whooping a white man ass. And I'll tell him stop the resisting. You think he's going to stop? You think he's just going to just lay there flat and stop moving? Fuck no. You can't. You can't. That shit hurts. If they don't get you one way, they're going to get you another way.
So do you think this statement that his co-defendant said, Kerry Spencer, is one of those statements that's kind of hard to, it's probably like a homie trying to help a homie. He said, from a letter in prison, he said that he's 100% innocent. I know this to be a fact because I'm the person that shot and killed all three officers.
And that should have got him off.
Should have.
It should not even that should have got him from the death penalty. They could have gave him life.
Yeah, he could have just.
They could have gave him a flat 30. He ain't did shit. He didn't touch nobody. I was just there. Now, taking 30 years from a man for just being there is one thing. But killing him just because he was there and didn't do nothing, you motherfuckers just committed murder.
Yeah, I actually believe that Alabama executed an innocent man. I know there's some people going to say that he was part of the conspiracy, but I believe that Kerry Spencer just was on one that day.
Guilty by association, and nobody will know more but those people that was there.
Yeah, but I don't think I don't think Kerry Spencer, the shooter, needed Nathaniel Woods to tell him what to do. He did it on his own.
Man.
He did it on his own, and Alabama probably executed an innocent person last week. But coming from Alabama, I'm not surprised. Now, if this was another, like California would have stayed the execution and investigated long. I think we've stayed like two or three executions in the last few years. But Alabama's on some other stuff. They just like, nah.
I mean, it's just the different people, man. Them people don't like black people. You just killed three white men in Alabama.
And if Reggie was here right now, you know what he would ask me? he would ask me, what are the names of those three white cops that got killed? I would say, I don't know.
And it don't matter.
I don't know their names.
All I know is the dude is dead. How long did you stay on death row? What, 14 years?
It's 2004. He was convicted in 05, so he's been on death row for 15 years. 15 years. What's really interesting, the actual shooter is not executed yet, but they executed Nathaniel Woods, but Kerry Spencer is still alive, and he's waiting for his execution date. So how they ended up executing him before the actual shooter is beyond
me. They picked the wrong straw. They picked the wrong straw.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the CNN article, and the CNN article doesn't even have the names of these three officers listed. I would have mentioned their names in respect to the families, but in this one article here, the cops' names aren't even listed. So let's move on to another story, James. Lydia Harris, I guess I'm not talking, I know, but this just happened. This just happened the other day.
No, I'm gonna sit back while you talk about
it. Okay. Well, a judge. This happened just a few days ago. A judge affirms that the incarcerated Suge Knight must pay former death row employee $107 million. This is a story we talked about before, where they actually vacated Lydia Harris's her judgment because she didn't divulge a bankruptcy. But I guess another judge looked at it and said, no, that doesn't matter. Lydia Harris and I guess Michael Harris also are owed $107 million. I'm sure a lot of people out there are going to say, well, so what? Suge Knight's doing 28 years in prison. There is no more money. Death Row is owned by Hasbro. But in the future, if there's any earnings that Suge Knight has coming, if he happens to win the lottery, if they make a movie about him and he's the producer on it, or if he's an executive producer of a show, now, because of this judgment, Lydia Harris is entitled to some of that money. So that's all it means. And I guess they are saying that Michael Harris, Harry O, did play a major part in the founding of Death Row Records back in the day. So anything you want to add to that, James?
No.
That's a lot of money, though, $107 million.
I mean, I take the money, but, I mean, you know, I mean, when you invest and people invest in you, then just come clean across the board. You give money where money is due. You don't have to be a certain kind of way and then juke people out of money. If you owe it, pay it, then you ain't got to worry about it. You know what I'm saying? That's why I say when people owe taxes, you know, sometimes we get greedy and don't want to do certain things, but at the end of the day, we're going to wind up paying for it anyway. So why not be straightforward from the beginning, and then you ain't got to worry about that other shit at the end of the day. You can lay down and don't have to worry about shit. You ain't stressing for nothing. So, I mean, I just think if you owe it, pay it.
Now, I wonder if that's going to cause Ray J to have hesitation, because in this article it mentions that Ray J is working on the biopic film for Suge Knight, and that means that some of that money that's coming in on that film is going to go directly to the Harrises.
But $1.7 million ain't shit. $1 million ain't shit to Ray J. Pay it. Fuck it.
$107 million?
I thought it was not
1.7 million. Oh, 107 million? Million. Yeah.
Oh, I'm a sheriff, gun for hire. Get your money.
Ray J might say, I'm not sure I want
to. 107 million is a lot of money. I thought you meant a 1.7 million.
Nah.
God damn.
We talking
$107
about
$107 million? Yeah, you got to pay that.
That's a lot of money because I guess the rumor is Harry O either put in $1 million or put in $500,000. So to put in 500,000 or a million into this company and win a judgment for $107 million.
And that's
million.
Where people get it fucked up. Regardless if you put in 30,000, if you fuck me, I'm punitive. I mean, yeah. You should pay me for my all these years of man waiting on my money. So, oh Lord, have mercy.
No, you're absolutely right.
I lost my words.
It's based on what the company was valued at a certain time.
That
so,
point.
So if it's valued at $500 million, they're basically saying Harris is entitled to 20%
of that.
But
see, the point is, the money that was lent to you, you triple, quadruple monies that I gave you into your company and became whoom-da-wham-bam. Now, do you not think that I should have interest on what I gave from this time to that time? Why are we going to court?
Absolutely.
Fuck it. Cause, and just say 99. You could have gave me $2 million and said, fuck it.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that a man being in prison has influences a dude saying, I ain't paying him. He ain't getting nothing. He in prison anyways. Because this guy from prison did not let prison hold him back from fighting for his money. But a lot of times we think, oh, that homie in prison, he doing 20 years, forget about him.
And that's where people got life fucked up. Men in prison, especially doing life or long terms, find an ability. They got the ability to make shit happen from prison. Just because I'm in prison doing, just like, let's say Suge, just because I got 28 years don't mean I can't start from the bottom and work my way back at the top from where I'm at. Because he using other resources to conduct his business, meaning other people. So just because he in jail, don't stop nothing. Don't stop nothing. I can still make my money from here, from this cell. And a lot of people do.
Yeah, I think we don't tend to, not me, but in general, we don't tend to respect dudes behind the wall there thinking that they're not capable. But no, they'll reach out some kind of way.
You have the smartest motherfuckers in jail. They will figure out any motherfucking thing that they want to be figured out. They will figure out how to go from point A to point B, and you don't even know it.
Well, I'm not surprised. I've always heard that Harry Yo was an intelligent brother and that would utilize any and every resource that he has access to. And is not going to forget, and he is going to be relentless until he gets what he's owed.
Man, I mean, I think every man should be like that.
I think some people would have just gave up and been like, damn, you know.
Well, a lot of would have, but I wouldn't have gave up. Yeah. I mean, shit, you owe me money, let's get it. And this ain't chump change.
Okay, last week I talked about Jackie Lacey, the DA for Los Angeles County. She was in an election, and she had 50% of the vote. But they counted up some of the ballots during the last week, James, and her 50% went down to 49.9%. So that means she's going to have a runoff election against George Gascon this fall.
And she's going to lose, right?
Yeah, she might lose because George Gascon, the third person, had 20-something percent. George Gascon had – basically, the other two people have 50%. And that third person's votes are most likely going to go to George Gascon and not Jackie Lacey. So when they
let me just ask you this: you think she deserves to sit there?
She had two terms already. It's time for a new DA.
Okay, so fuck her.
She's been in there.
Not fuck her, but she done.
She's been in there since 2012. She did two terms. She did her thing. Hey, let's bring in another person. I believe she's the first black DA that Los Angeles ever had, but a lot of people are not happy with her.
Man, and it's crazy. Motherfucker just don't call it like it is. When you get people in power, yeah. People in power still have rules. I don't give a fuck if you're at the top. You still have, is it code you got to follow? So she's going to act according to the way these people want her to be. You ain't just out there doing what you want to do and how you want to do it and then think ain't nobody going to say shit because I'm this person. The only person who can do that is the president, dude, Mr. Yellow. Mr. Orange, he about the only one that get away with his own shit. But everybody in power, man, got to answer to somebody still.
I think she lost some votes because her husband pulled that gun out.
No.
Some people were turned off by that. And look how close this election is.
It might have helped it.
This election was so close.
It might have helped it, but her ass was out anyway. It was time for them to get rid of this lady. That lady knew it. It was time for her to go. Get your black ass out of here. And she knew it was time to go.
Well, they'll do a runoff election in the fall, and we'll see. She's
all
probably
of a sudden just pop up. Now she done lost. Her votes done went down. At first she was looking good.
Yeah, she had 50.1%. She got down to 49%, and now George Gascon is going to come for her head. And George Gascon is a former LAPD chief. He's also a former chief in New Mexico, and then he's the former DA of San Francisco. He decided to come back to Los Angeles.
So what they need to do is get a history thing on him, what type of person he was.
I actually like George Gascon. I met him once. One time they were doing some gang awareness, and they wanted to have a better understanding of gangs, and they called me down to Parker Center. This is when LAPD was in Parker Center, and I said, let me go down there and hear what these guys are talking about. And he's telling me, like, hey, I want to work with the youth. I want to bring programs to these communities. This is before they did Summer Night Lights. And I was like, wow, I ain't never heard no police talk like this before.
Y'all... So did any of that happen?
Well, the Summer Night Lights did happen. They did Summer Night Lights in 2008, and they did it in 8 parks. And then they expanded it in 2009 and 16. And they're still doing it today. And they say that whenever they do Summer Night Lights in the summer, when they keep the parks open for, you know, after midnight, that crime goes down in all these neighborhoods. So that certainly was, I think, a positive program that the city had. But then he left. He left to take a job as chief in another city. So I thought he was done with L.A. But all the stuff I know about George Gascon has been pretty good. So, yeah, now everyone's going to start researching this dude because him and Jackie Lacey are about to go head up in the fall. And we're going to see... you know, who wins
ain't
that
no
one?
Politics, yeah. More power to him. To me, it really don't matter who's there because we don't see the work. We don't see, you know, nothing. So
yeah, at the end of the day, let's keep it real. It doesn't matter who's in that position. It doesn't matter who's
they all they getting paid. We don't see it. They ain't stop shit here, there, nowhere else. So, I mean, none of that. And I don't even know why we even be talking about those people, giving them their witch call, because it don't concern us, in a sense. I mean, we could talk about it all day because we see them on TV and all that other shit, but whatever her position is, she's not helping us.
Well, I think it concerns us because these are the people that are prosecuting people that we either knew, that we know, and then if people we know in prison who are appealing their cases and they got to take it back to the county, they either got to take it to Jackie Lacey's office or George Gascon if he wins.
And what's the odds of her, of taking your appeal to her? She ain't helping nobody, is she? Honestly.
Well, we have won some appeals. There's been some victories in the last 8 years. I don't know if
she... It got to be clear cut.
Yeah, I don't know what her position is on all these, because there's so many...
And that's what I'm saying right there. So, I mean, it wouldn't bother me if she lost her job or not. She ain't worried about mine.
I'd like to just see a new person. And nothing like... The only thing that I have against Jackie Lacey is that in 8 years, you only prosecuted one cop for murder, when there were at least there were a few more you could have done, but like I think you said it a couple episodes ago, like what good is that for her in her job if she starts prosecuting cops? Then they're not gonna like her, you know.
And she'd have been gone.
And she would have probably been gone. Well, we'll see. But there are DAs that prosecute cops, and the one that we mentioned in the beginning of the show on the fact check, what's his name? The Orange County DA prosecuted Jay Cicinelli, the one-eyed cop that beat up a homeless dude named Kelly Thomas for absolutely no reason.
Right.
He got prosecuted. I wonder if Jackie Lacey would have even prosecuted that if it happened in L.A. County. My guess is, nah, she probably wouldn't have. So I think she's pro-cop, and I think she's pro-corrupt cop.
Well, I can't say corrupt cop, pro-corrupt. That's. I mean, she on two sides of the fence. I mean, like I said, they situation really don't matter because it's what they doing. I don't know how it's affecting us. You know what I'm saying? And that's maybe one of my biggest problems because I don't know too much about the politic standpoint of it. I don't know about like my boy here. He can with his sleepy ass can talk about Donald Trump and all this politics shit. I don't understand that shit.
Yeah.
So what the fuck, any president we have, what has that done for us?
I don't think you're missing out on anything. Because I'm of the belief it doesn't matter who's in office over there. Man. We still got the same problems. We still got the same issues.
We need our own motherfucking president, a hood president or something. We need something. We need to start helping us. Other than that, and them other people, when they got them problems, we got more problems than the law allow. So we need to really just start working on our shit. I don't give a fuck about Donald Trump. I don't give a fuck about what he's doing. If these people are going to allow this man to go blow up shit and do other shit just because he know he can, then them people that's following him are stupid as fuck, as just like him. So, but we ain't got no say-so. We can't stop this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So we just sitting here waiting for a bomb to drop on us because we can't do nothing about what the fuck going on over there. They say vote. How do we know the votes is being counted right? How do we know the motherfuckers that's counting the votes know who the fuck going to win because they counting the votes?
Yeah, we don't know if these elections are rigged, especially with these new digital
things. This is my thing. So Donald Trump won once. Donald Trump going to win again?
Probably. But look, if you look at the U.S. presidents for the last 150 years, there's a pattern. It always goes Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Republican. Sometimes it goes 8 years, 8 years, 8 years. Sometimes 4 years, 8 years. It just goes back and forth.
And Democrat, Republican is the same motherfucking thing. These people give a fuck about self. These people is making money on top of money. They not bringing that money from up there, from the White House, and bringing it to the hood. They not making money and said, well, we're going to build this shit because we believe all our people are equal or one. So we got to fix this. If y'all can stop doing this, this is what we putting into the neighborhood. The motherfuckers don't give a fuck about what happened in Compton. They don't give a fuck what's happening over here. Put the police over there. Let them do what the fuck they want to do. We got to be accounted for.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Republicans and the Democrats are all the same, you know?
Man, all the same.
They might have a different ideology, but behind closed doors, they're sipping their drinks and smoking their cigars.
We're thinking that they want us to believe they fighting each other. The motherfuckers ain't fighting each other. They fighting together.
Yeah, half the time they're not fighting
man,
each other.
Man, when Donald Trump didn't get impeached, and these motherfuckers know he a bad motherfucker and know something wrong, when they didn't impeach him,
yeah, it's all theatrics, man. Let me let everyone know that if you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, we will appreciate a rating and a review. And in that review, throw us some questions because we will definitely answer your questions on the air. And regardless of what platform you're listening to, leave a rating and a review. And we're also available, of course, on Spotify, one of our largest audiences, and on Google Play for Samsung and Android users. And if you have one of those Alexas at home, you can do like my mom does and just say, hey, Alexa, play the Gangsta Chronicles, and the latest episode will come up. And you could also follow and listen to the show on the Himalaya app. Just go to the App Store and download the free app. It's the red icon with the HI in it, and you could listen to our show that way. And, of course, the Gangsta Chronicles is available on video, and you could watch portions of this show and then sometimes the entire episode on the Digital Soapbox Network. And all those videos are produced and edited by Smooth Cut Productions. And on that same platform, we have merchandise available, Gangster Chronicles shirts and things of that sort. And you can find James McDonald on his Instagram if you want to holler at him, BIGGJ3636. And he still has those amazing Death Row t-shirts, 909-419-0345. You can find me, Alex Alonso, at AlexAlonso101 on all social media platforms. And this is usually where I tell you where you can find Reggie Wright Jr., but because you just mentioned we don't really shout him out too often, but you can't holler at him right now. But I'll throw his social media out there because he'll still be on the same platforms when he comes home. It's Reggie.Wright.Jr. on Instagram. And go to Bomb First so you can see and understand what James' frustration was about on the latest interview that they posted up there on that platform.
When frustration? I believe, and I know we wrapping this shit up.
Almost, not yet.
Loyalty is a motherfucker. Some of us don't possess that. Some of us don't understand what it means. But I'm here to show you. My loyalty to Reggie, Alex, Brian, and Norm is these are the only guys in my circle. Anything happen or opposed to them, it's going to happen to me. Anything. By any means necessary, I'm going down with the ship. If any one of those guys is touched, you got to touch me too. And I hope they feel the same way about me. That's why I say loyalty. If you don't have it and I got it, I'm going to give you my last. If you got an issue, 3, 4 in the morning, and I got my, I'm fucking at whatever, I'm going to get the fuck off that pussy and come to you. Because you my nigga.
Yeah.
And I know it's a problem if you call me at that time on some ride or die shit. And that's where my loyalty at. I shouldn't have to second guess my friendship for none of these guys, to none of these guys. I shouldn't have to act a certain way or think a certain kind of way. Now, if that's where I got to be, now I got to reinsert some shit. Now I got to think different. Now I got to misunderstand it. Maybe I misunderstood, but my loyalty is everything, especially to everybody in my circle.
All right, the last news story we have before we wrap up was a story we talked about, Harvey Weinstein. He was sentenced this week, James. Guess how many years they gave him? You thought he might have skated because he's a multimillionaire and has been doing this for his whole career.
All I'm going to say is this.
They stretched him out, man.
Y'all did Bill Cosby. Get his ass. Y'all fucking with what's that? What's his name? R. Kelly. Lock his ass up. Y'all know he did that shit. Free Bill Cosby.
Harvey Weinstein was sentenced to 23 years. He was found guilty of sexual assault and third-degree rape, which I don't know what that means.
Once again,
third-degree rape.
Prime. Once again, it's about time. And you knew they was going to get him because people was questioning the judicial system.
Yeah, there was
you
no...
You got Bill Cosby, but all these other motherfuckers is going home free. You know what I'm saying? And what man out there that don't touch a woman? My only problem with this is that they wait 15, 20, 30 years, and then they can come and prosecute a motherfucker. That's bullshit.
I know you was concerned about that on the previous episode, that if the woman don't bring it up now, then why bring it up later?
Why bring it up 20 years later?
Well,
that's a waste of goddamn time. How can you prove that? Your memory is still that fresh? That I couldn't have traumatized you because you're functional. You're working the whole time. You're able to take care of your child and your husband. You're still having sex with your motherfucking husband. So you ain't traumatized. So what the fuck would bring you to this point? Money. Motherfucker, they're going to sue. He done got found guilty. He a millionaire. They're going to sue.
Yeah, they're going to sue his estate for sure.
And 9 times out of 10, the average motherfucking man that got a case, the first thing they want to do is settle out of court. Let it go away, because I don't want to go through this bullshit.
Well, some of these women, I understand them not coming forward, and I'm not going to repeat what I said last time, but go to episode 47 when I responded to James about how I understand that some women are just hesitant on coming forward when it happens, and it takes a little bit of time sometimes for people to, you know, come forward. And
was you around when you was around, you old enough, when the cocaine came out?
Of course.
The pretty niggas couldn't get no chick, because they was fucking with all the big niggas, the fat niggas that had the money. When that motherfucker stopped fucking with you, what the first thing they do? Some of them chicks holler rape, talk shit, or set your ass up. Just like these basketball stars, these football stars, these rappers. They go out of state and they fuck abroad. The first thing she say is, I'm pregnant. You know how much money you will get from a rich motherfucker with one baby?
You're set for 18 years at least.
For 18 motherfucking years. And then some of these dumb motherfuckers go back and they have another baby. Some of these motherfuckers don't even question the paternity.
So are you thinking that some of these Harvey Weinstein victims may not be telling the truth?
I think a lot of them don't tell the truth. Man, when a woman can accept a man brushing up against her, opposed to just straight putting his hands all in her shit or squeezing her or trying to rip off her clothes. Something totally different. If a man ain't penetrated you, ain't ripped off your clothes, and he just walked past you and squeezed your ass, is that worth 23 years?
Absolutely not.
No. So file a discrimination case when he squeezed your ass and be done with that shit. Fuck all that other bullshit. This is all extra. And women have been doing that. Women groom their bodies to catch a rich motherfucker just to get them. They fuck you, and they have a baby, and then maybe some of them got lucky and got married, but then a divorce came right after. She said, women have groomed themselves. They have mamas that teach their daughter and show their daughters this type of shit. This has been going on for a long time, but I'm just saying.
Well, you know, he could appeal his case, but these convictions are based on two women, Miriam Haley and Jessica Mann, and one of the women accused him for an assault in 2006. So to you, that's just too long ago. It was 14 years ago, and now you want to bring it up. It's your position, right?
Yeah, why does she want to speak on it now? Maybe it's something she got to see. A lot of shit going on, but we don't know what happened behind closed doors. See what I'm saying? But we speculate all motherfucking day, but we don't know. She probably went and got at him and told him, if you don't give me whoop, I'm going to prosecute. I'm going to go tell him you did this. He said, fuck you, go tell him. And she did that because he didn't pay. But he should have gave her the little ass money she asked for and walked away from the shit. But, I mean, that's just how it go. And can't nobody out here tell me that we don't have women like that. We have what they call gold diggers. We have women that's opportunists. When they see something, they jump on it. Even back in the days with basketball, they had women following these ball players all over the place, getting pregnant, and then you the daddy. And half of the motherfuckers was married, so they paid their way out and taking care of their bastard child on the side. So you have women that get down like that. People just had to be careful.
Well, hopefully these women were not lying, but if they were, I'm sure he'll appeal. He's got the money to appeal. He's got the money to win an appeal.
I ain't going to call him no liar because he probably did touch him.
Well, he tried to get his attorney tried to get him only sentenced to 5 years because of his age. The maximum sentence was 29.
I wouldn't give a fuck. You committed a crime. You got found guilty. Judge, do the time like I would.
I guess the judge compromised a little bit with the 23 years.
Now, the judge heard that Gangster Chronicle show and said, shit, if you a man of power, you ain't no different than a man in property. You ain't no different from me. So give him the same thing I would give that motherfucker that live in the hood. Give that motherfucker 23 years. Let him sit down and think about it.
All right. Well, let's. I want to thank all the listeners for enjoying this episode of the Gangster Chronicles. Hopefully next week we'll have Reggie Wright calling in. Yes, sir. Oh, is that right? The NBA season just got suspended indefinitely? That's crazy.
No basketball?
I just heard that the Golden State Warriors played a game with no fans in the stadium.
Why'd they do that?
The virus, the coronavirus.
Oh, man.
Hey, Gangster Chronicles will be back next week for sure, regardless of this coronavirus. You know what was crazy? We didn't get to talk about it, but we had a lit party here last week.
Oh, off the chain.
But I was just thinking about the coronavirus. We're supposed to stay away from huge crowds. But people were smoking weed, sharing blunts, putting their mouth on things, and this coronavirus is going around.
That was last Saturday. Today Wednesday. I ain't sick yet. Ain't none of them motherfuckers had it. If you got it, get you some motherfucking what they call that shit? Some garlic. Boil that garlic and drink the water. You cool. That'll cure any motherfucking thing.
So as of this week, the NBA halted the season then. I guess there's, 20 games left in the season? And we're gearing up for the playoffs. Another thing that was canceled, this is something I take my kids to every year here in Los Angeles, is the Festival of Books at USC. Been going there for years, and they just canceled it because of the coronavirus.
Man.
So I'm like, another thing. My daughter is supposed to go to Finland. We bought the ticket.
Oh, I'm scared to travel.
We paid
now
for everything, and they just canceled her trip to Finland. So I guess this coronavirus. I don't know if this coronavirus is as serious as they're saying, because I've been listening to some doctors that said, "Hold up, don't over panic." But at the same time, I've seen how this virus is spreading really fast. I think it's spreading a little bit faster than influenza, which is the same flu we always get. But here's the thing. People die from the influenza, the regular flu virus, like 30,000 people die every year. they're saying that the coronavirus might be a little bit stronger than the influenza virus. So
the coronavirus is just a fucking cold, though.
It's just a virus. And yeah. They're talking about a cure. Let me just let everybody know. There is no cure for any virus. No virus has a cure. What they're trying to do is create some sort of a vaccine so that people don't die from it.
That's why I trip off everybody that go get a flu shot. A flu shot ain't nothing but the flu. They injecting in you.
Yeah, I've never got a flu shot.
It makes you sick. Yeah. Fuck, why would I do that?
No, if you're vulnerable to it, I would recommend it. But if you're pretty healthy, regular healthy, you don't need no flu shot. I've never had a flu shot, but
I'm not going to go nowhere where I'm going to let a motherfucker give me a cold.
I would consider a flu shot in my elderly years when my immune system is a little bit weaker. But I want to thank everybody for listening to the Gangster Chronicles. James, you still got them shirts?
Yeah. Reggie Wright, you my brother. I love you. I'm always love you, my nigga. But if you got something to say to me, nothing but a phone call. Nothing but a phone call. Because I would be that same way with you. But other than that, man. Don't make me come visit your monkey ass.
Go to Bomb First and listen to that interview that Reggie gave from prison. And don't forget to check out Street TV. I just uploaded a couple of new episodes. I even got one of James' homeboys on an episode coming out real soon. That one came out really good. I can't wait to post that one up. And we're out.
Out. Appreciate you. Appreciate the show. Appreciate our text. Appreciate
it.
Yeah, Jackie Lacy.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.